Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
We'll do that again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. Let us turn off our cell phones and any other electronic devices as we hear Diane on the organ today playing our prelude. Amen, and thank you, Diane. I came up here this morning and everything was gone, and I wondered if the rapture had happened and I didn't get to go. It was like, Happy Easter. Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. Whether you are a first-time guest, a second or third-time guest, a long-time member, or a returning pastor, we are glad you are here today. Please take the time to fill out the friendship sheet on the pew, pass it across, and then back to the center so that we know that you are here today. It is Easter Sunday, but I want you to forget that, and I want you to think that next week is Easter Sunday so that you all show back up again, and then every week forget that it was Easter Sunday and keep doing that. It's nice to have to park across the street. Not just do it because we want to save spaces. We love seeing all of you here. If you take a look at your purple sheet, at least it's purple in my bulletin, you'll see the announcements for the week. The Handbell Spring Ring happens Friday and Saturday at the Ramcota. 2:30 on Saturday 2:30 on Saturday. And please come and listen. We have Amber French and Cloxim, Bob Malloy, and Tammy Heck from our church playing in that. Next weekend is also the installation for our new regional minister. After a long, and it was a long search, we are thrilled to have Reverend Joan Bell Haynes to come and be our executive regional minister. That will be at 3:00 Sunday at First Christian Church in Loveland. If you're able to attend, please contact the pastor, or if you'd like to attend. And then the next weekend is the crop walk on Sunday the 30th at 2. Nope. What's that?
The 30th.
Didn't I say Sunday the 30th? The next one after that. Pay attention to what I'm saying. The next one after that, after the installation Sunday. You know, doesn't matter where you go, there's a peanut gallery, you know? Really. On the 30th at 2, the walk will start at the Tate Pump House. Sign up today or make a donation to help, and you can contact Debbie Mestis, or I guess Keith Rouse, because he seems to know everything about it. Oh. Are there any other announcements? Not from you. All right. Seeing none, let us stand and greet one another and prepare to sing our opening worship hymn 216, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
Please join with me in our call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God's faithful love lasts forever. Songs of joy and deliverance are heard in all the land.
Christ is risen. Praise the Lord.
I won't die. No, I will live and declare what the Lord has done.
Christ is risen. Praise the Lord.
The stone rejected by the builder is now the main foundation stone. This has happened because of the Lord. It is astounding in our sight. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and celebrate.
Please join me in prayer. O God, today you give us a blessed gift, the promise that you made long ago, the promise you made when a little baby was born and placed in a manger. The promise that was made when your son had a crown of thorns thrust upon his head and he was stuck on a cross to die. But death did not win. Christ won. And because of his victory, we are here today. He gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live and live abundantly. Lord, you give us so much. And what you ask in return at times may seem difficult, but it's truly simple. You ask us to follow you. Please be with us today and each day as we work toward the promise that we make to you and that you've made to us. Amen. We say these things in the name of your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. I've asked a couple of our handbell ringers to stay here so all the kids can come on down. We're a little crowded this morning. We don't have as much room to sit on the steps as usual, so I'm just going to have you guys kind of stand here in a group and give you a chance to see the handbells. Traditionally, churches have bells. Some churches have a big, tall steeple with a bell that rings loud that the whole neighborhood can hear. Oftentimes, those bells are rung on Christmas and on Easter. It's a way of announcing Christ is born and Christ is risen. We use bells for other things too. Sometimes at school, a bell might ring to tell you it's time to go to your next class. In olden days, fire trucks had bells that they would ring and ring and ring. Now that's replaced by a siren. But all those noises make announcements and gets people's attention. This morning for Easter, we had a piece by our handbells. And I thought it might be nice for you to learn a little bit about handbells. If you turn and look around at Mrs. King, Ms. King, Deb King, she has some little tiny bells. She's going to ring them for us. Now turn around and look over here at Mrs. Heck, at Tammy. Look how big her bell is. Let's see what it sounds like. Wow. So what note is higher, the little tiny one or the big one?
The higher one.
The higher one is higher. Very good, Colin. High five. So which one is higher?
The tiny
one. Let's listen again. Let's listen to the teeny tiny one. And let's listen to the great big low one. And then we have all these notes in between. And when you put them together, you get wonderful, wonderful music. Anytime you hear a bell ring, it means that something important is happening. And at church, it means that we're celebrating Christ. At Christmas, we celebrate his birth. And at Easter, we celebrate his resurrection. Will you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of music, for bells that ring to announce to all the world that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And all God's children said, amen. You all can go and sit with your families today. It must be the rapture. I lost my bulletin. Do you have the yellow page with the prayer concerns?
Yes, right.
Thank you. We're missing all kinds of things this morning. It's pretty exciting. If you would look on the yellow insert in your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. And as we share these, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you. Take one of those postcards that has a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today and place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for Grace Sahlstrom. Grace is a former member of our congregation who lives in Colorado Springs. We're sending her greetings from her church family. We continue to hold in loving prayer both Susie Stewart and Donna Klinker, who have known losses of late. We are holding them in prayer as they miss loved ones who have been called to heaven. Among those who need prayers for healing, we continue to pray for Darlene McIrvin, Lorna Cook, and for Dave Baker in Seattle. The missionary we're lifting today is Elena Weigel, who serves in Chile. We give thanks for her longtime service as a missionary with the Disciples of Christ. If you've watched the news at all this week, I'm sure, like me, you have found yourself praying for people in all kinds of situations, praying for those affected by tornadoes and wildfires, and praying for people around the world. Thursday night at our Monte Thursday service, we took a moment to pray for the world in which we live. And in this day and age, when you simply say the name of a certain country, That in itself becomes a prayer. The countries that were named Thursday night include Syria and Egypt, Iraq, North Korea, and Afghanistan. We pray for the world in which we live. We pray for our own community, our country, and our leaders. Our ministry prayer partners today are the members of First Christian Church in Sheridan. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings to the disciples there and to their pastor, Doug. Are there other concerns or joys this morning that we want to share as we prepare to pray? Madison.
I found out yesterday that a really good friend from high school passed away. He was in the Marine Corps. He was only 21. His name was Mark Mambula. Sorry, it's a hard name to pronounce, but prayers for his family, and it was really tragic to hear that he passed.
Prayers for a young man named Mark who was 21 when he passed away. Way in the back. Prayers of healing for John. Also in the back. Prayers of birthday blessings for Abel Stewart. Jim.
Prayers for my brother Dave Oliver, who has a neurological disorder from seizures he's had in the past 10 years, and it's turned into Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and he may not have a good one.
Prayers for Dave Oliver with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's that may be limiting his life. Pat. What a joy. Thank you for sharing that with us. Pat Buck is a wonderful storyteller and a great author. She has published her first book on Amazon. I'll have to go home this afternoon and look it up. Thank you for sharing that. Let us bring all of these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our lives to the Lord as we share in a time of silence. Holy God, on this great and glorious Easter morn, we give thanks for the beauty of sunlight streaming into our sanctuary. We give thanks for the gift of resurrection and hope. Lord, we also pray for those who are still living in darkness, whose lives are cast under the fear of the shadow of the tomb, who do not yet know your power and your grace, or who are struggling with a burden so heavy that it is hard for them to celebrate this Easter. Lord, we pray for those who need resurrecting power in their lives to get up off sick beds and rise, to find the strength to struggle through times of challenge and heartache. Oh God, we give thanks for all the blessings you bestow upon your people on this glorious Easter morn. We thank you especially for the gift of faith in Christ. Lord, we thank you for Grace Sahlstrom and other longtime members of the church who, though they can no longer be here in worship, continue to praise you in their lives. Lord, we ask for comfort for Susie and Donna and their families. We pray for comfort for those who know grief and those who hold fast to the promise of eternal life. Lord, we ask your healing to be with Darlene and Lorna and Dave. We pray for Dave Oliver as he struggles with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and neurological issues. Lord, we ask that the time he has on earth may be blessed with joy. We pray for a beloved son, John, as he struggles with illness. And we ask for comfort for Madison and others who knew their friend Mark, who died far too young. Oh God, draw near to those whose hearts are heavy with sorrow. We rejoice this day at the news of a dream coming true, a book being published. We rejoice at the celebration of birth. And Lord, we pray your blessing to be with those around the world who proclaim your glory. Bless this day, Elena Hagel, as she serves in Chile, and all of your missionaries and ministers. Oh God, we pray for the world in which we live, a world that still so desperately needs peace. We ask your blessing upon Pastor Doug and the members of First Christian Church in Sheridan. Lord, there are many others whom we hold in our hearts this day. We ask you for healing and hope, for courage and strength, and for the glory of the resurrection to shine on all your people, to shine through our lives, and to bless the world in which we live. In Christ's name, amen. When you think about the flavors of Easter, for some, what that draws to mind is perhaps a ham dinner cooked at home. For others, it might mean a wonderful buffet shared out at a fancy restaurant with friends or family. For our children, the flavors of Easter undoubtedly include chocolate or jelly beans hidden inside of little eggs. I remember one Easter Sunday when I was probably a little bit younger than the Woods boys. The Easter Bunny that year had brought me M&Ms, and I had them clasped tightly in my hand when the doorbell rang. I ran to answer it, and lo and behold, an incredible surprise, it was my grandfather from California. He had not told Mom and Dad that he was coming. But there, parked in front of our house, was a huge RV, and Grandma and Grandpa were there for Easter. I was so excited to see him, I completely forgot I was holding Easter candy and ran around probably for about 20 minutes. Long ago, there was an ad on TV about M&Ms that said, "They melt in your mouth, not in your hand." Well, if you hold them long enough, they'll melt in your hand. The flavor of that Easter Sunday was tears of joy and laughter and the sweetness of chocolate licked off of a childish palm every Sunday in my life. The flavor of Easter has also included the sweet meal of communion, the bread and the cup. This day, whether you'll celebrate Easter with a ham dinner or a handful of jelly beans, I invite you to also include the bread and the cup in your celebration of Christ's resurrection. All who believe in Jesus are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper in this time of worship in this place. We'll prepare for communion by singing together number 227, In the Garden.
Thank you.
That beautiful and beloved hymn is inspired by the Easter story when Mary was in the garden, surprised to find the risen Savior. Here at the table, more surprises wait for us: the forgiveness of our sin, God still working in the world in powerful ways, the grace of the Lord's love known in the loaf and the cup. On this day, we remember the resurrection of Jesus. We also recall his crucifixion on Friday and the Thursday night before, when he was with his disciples in the upper room. And while they were at table, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Lord God, we are gathered here in your presence to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. May your Holy Spirit be within us as we pray. We will be eternally grateful, Father, for the gift you gave to all humanity through Jesus. You gave your only begotten Son to relieve us of our sins and give us the opportunity of everlasting life. Father, we know that gift comes with a responsibility. We are disciples of Christ, and we have a mission. Our mission is to spread the good news of Jesus to the far corners of planet Earth. We pray that we may joyfully embrace our mission today, tomorrow, and all the days that follow. Amen.
Your gift to the Easter offering supports the work of Disciples of Christ across the United States and Canada and around the world. It helps a community of Disciples of Christ in the Congo write a new story of peacemaking, community building, empowering youth, helping bring access to clean water, and improving health through partnerships with global ministries. Through HELM, Higher Education Learning Ministries, you help students at Disciples Colleges like Texas Christian University, Chapman, and Bethany learn about critical issues like human trafficking and gain education to lead lives that will change the world for the better. Through the National Benevolent Association, you support Reverend Dean Bukalos in prison ministries to care for the incarcerated and fight systemic issues of racism and injustice. In all, the Easter offering funds over 70 Disciples ministries that have far-reaching benefits to all of our congregations, the communities in which we live, and in the world around us, which still desperately needs the promise of resurrection. Thank you.
As someone who attended both Bethany and Chapman, I thank you for your support of HELM and our colleges and universities. Would you please pray with me? Lord, at times we do not know what to do with the gifts that we have. Those that we turn over to you, though, we know will be used in ways that reach beyond the borders of this church, of this city, of this state, and spread throughout the world. We ask that you use our gifts and our humility to make this place a better place and to make the world a better one itself. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. You will find them in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible on page 54. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
What a strange place to end the story of Christ's resurrection. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Yet the oldest manuscripts that we have of Mark in the original Greek end right there. The women came to the tomb, it was empty, they were afraid, and they left. End of story. Except, of course, we know that's not actually the end of the story. Mark was writing to people who knew of the resurrected Christ. They knew the rest of the story. Years later, after Mark's gospel was written about 60 AD, a shorter ending was added, just in case the story was ever heard by someone who didn't know the risen Christ. The addition was given to Mark's gospel saying, "And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation." That sounds like a better ending, doesn't it? Well, as the years went by, there were others who thought that ending is still too short. And so additional verses were given to the end of Mark's gospel. In verse 9, "Now after Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, as he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation.'" So the story continues with our proclaiming the good news of Christ's resurrection to all creation. Thank you, choir, and Josh and Roy, and Amber and Diane for the wonderful music today. I invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord Jesus, we gather to celebrate your resurrection. We name before you that we are an already but not yet people. We already know the rest of the story, that death did not win. And yet we are not yet fully living in your kingdom, O God. Bless us now to hear and to be the rest of the story. Amen. Of all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark is the shortest, the most direct, and it has the fastest pace. Mark says, time and time again, and immediately they went. As soon as Jesus does something, the apostles are off and running to the next place. Perhaps with that as our context, it's not a surprise that even Jesus, immediately after he was resurrected, was off and running again, headed to Galilee where his ministry had begun. Let's hear this Easter story one more time. When the Sabbath was over. The Sabbath was that Jewish holiday celebrated every week, marking the seventh day of creation, the day when God rested. The Sabbath is a day of rest, the seventh day of the week, beginning at sunset on Friday, running through all of Saturday, over a 24-hour period, all the way until sunrise Sunday morning. We know that Jesus was crucified on a Friday. Because it was right before the Sabbath, there was a bit of a hurry to get him into the tomb, to seal up that body, to let him rest in peace. Joseph of Arimathea went to the authorities and asked permission to have Jesus' body taken down off the cross, and then he laid it in his own tomb. The Jews do not practice embalming. Instead, it was the custom at that time for family members to come and care for the body of a loved one who had died. The body would be lovingly washed, anointed with fragrant perfume. It had a pretty practical effect. If the body was not embalmed or preserved or mummified, it would begin to decay like any other flesh. It would begin to smell. So when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices. In Greek, aromatica. Aromatic spices, perfume that smelled so good. Lotions, ointments, oils. They had planned on going to the tomb, washing Jesus' body, combing out his hair, removing as best they could the signs of the trauma he had suffered, washing away the blood from his wounds of the crucifixion. It was a grim task, and yet one filled with great compassion. They carried with them these spices for this loving act. And as very early on that first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, they'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Their biggest worry that morning was getting access to Jesus' body. The women had been with Jesus throughout his ministry. Mary Magdalene had been healed by the Master. They had followed along as the apostles traveled. They had heard Jesus teach and preach. They had seen the miracles when he fed the thousands of people, when he healed the sick. The women were even there, perhaps lurking in the shadows of the garden at Gethsemane, when the disciples all ran away. The women were there when Jesus was crucified. They had seen him die. They knew that his body was sealed in the tomb borrowed from Joseph of Arimathea. It had been sealed with a huge, massive stone rolled in front of the entrance. In Greek, the word for tomb is tied to memory, a place of remembering. That stone was actually the doorway to memory, the gateway through which they would walk to find the one that they loved and held in their memory. As they talked that morning, they had their spices with them. The sun was up. It was time to go. Their only worry was getting access to the body. So what a shock it must have been when they looked up. They saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, somewhat like a small cave, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. They were sore afraid. They were terrified. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. The same greeting that the angels gave to the shepherds when Jesus was born. Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. Another interesting comment on the Greek at this point. The verb tense indicates an ongoing condition of being. The young man in the tomb is saying, you're looking for the one who was, who is being crucified. You're looking for the one who still has holes in his hands and his feet. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. What amazement must have filled the women. But go, they were instructed, tell his disciples and Peter. In the Greek, that little word chi is used as a joiner. It can mean and, it can mean but, it can mean even Peter. Go tell his disciples, even Peter, even the one who said three times, I don't know him. Go tell them that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. It would be great if the story ends with the women doing what they were told, but in Mark's telling, so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I wonder how many Easter mornings around the world Christians gather in worship. We celebrate the resurrection. We're sent forth, and we don't tell anyone because we're afraid. After all, who of our neighbors will believe us? If we proclaim that we follow God, whose power is so great that even the dead shall live again, maybe we think our neighbors can't quite believe that. Can you believe it? We don't want to be labeled as the crazies, so we say nothing to anyone. We celebrate Easter with bunnies and chicks and jelly beans and ham. And oh yeah, there's that Jesus thing. The women had been expecting a dead body, and they didn't find it. The other gospel writers in their accounts talk about the amazement and the fear. They talk about the speculation that perhaps Jesus' body was stolen. As Mark's gospel continues, we hear this. After Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. Even while the disciples were overwhelmed with the grief of Jesus' death, the good news came, he is alive. At first, Mary couldn't believe it. She saw the empty tomb, and at first she ran away afraid to say anything, but then Jesus appeared to her, and she believed it. And she told the disciples. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them. In another place, that story is told. As the followers of Jesus were walking on the road to Emmaus, he appeared in their midst, and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves. Jesus keeps showing up time and time and time again. He won't stay in the tomb. He won't stay dead. He won't stay in the box where we tried to put him. Even today, God is still on the move. Jesus is still alive and still surprising us to the point where we don't know what to even say about it. Can you believe it? The women saw the empty tomb. And at first, they were afraid, but then they told the story of the resurrection. There were others who met Jesus, and at first they couldn't believe it, but then they did. Have you met the risen Lord? Can you believe the glorious, amazing power of God? In our own lives, at times, each one of us has a moment when we perhaps feel like we're in that tomb. We're in that dark place. We're overwhelmed by despair or guilt or sin. But then if we believe, the power of God comes, the resurrecting power of life. Children who felt lost and frightened find a home. Relationships that were broken and falling apart find wholeness. People who were lost in despair suddenly discover they are loved. Those who struggle with addiction, with health issues, with heartache beyond measure, find in the story of the resurrected Christ, in the living presence of God, power to keep going through the worst of times. God's people do not belong in a stone-cold tomb. We belong in the world, still following, still proclaiming the risen Lord. The women were told, go and tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. To that place where Jesus' ministry began, Jesus would be there again. To that place where the fishermen were told, follow me and I will make you fish for people. To that place where miracles first revealed the presence of God. As followers of Christ, we're still trying to catch up with him. He is here. He is risen indeed. He is also in the world, still in Galilee, still in the places where people are overwhelmed with despair. There we find Jesus walking among the poorest of the poor, sitting at table with those who are hungry and hurting. Even in our own lives, we find the risen Christ. The question is, will we be too afraid to tell anyone else about it? May you be blessed this Easter with the wonder and amazement that the women knew when they encountered the risen Christ. May you be blessed with overwhelming joy in the morning that makes you shout and sing and tell the story. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. May we, like his first followers, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 224, Christ Arose. There may be in our midst this morning someone who has been visiting here for a while and who's finally decided First Christian is going to be my church home. If so, you're invited to come forward and reaffirm your faith in Christ. There may be someone here who is ready for the first time to confess publicly that you believe in Jesus. If that's so, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing, Christ Arose.
Thank you.
I know that many of you have special plans for celebrating the day with family or friends. On your way, we would encourage you to stay for a moment at fellowship. There's coffee and refreshments downstairs. Greet one another as we continue celebrating the resurrection of Christ. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, our risen Savior, we follow you today. In the glory of sunlight in the world, we proclaim the sun's light. O Jesus, your light that shines in our lives, in our hearts, in our world. Make us your resurrected people, eager to go forth and tell all we meet. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.